If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome to a special edition of the 3-Down Nation podcast. I'm John Hodge, joined by Canadian quarterback Christian Veilleur. How is it going?
Great.
And I nailed the pronunciation.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, you did. There we go. That's my job. I got to nail the pronunciation. There we go. So I wanted to talk to you. We'll go through your collegiate history, but I wanted to start off. You're from Ottawa.
Yeah.
And this year's draft class is unbelievably stacked.
Yeah.
From Ottawa. Three of the top five prospects are defensive linemen from Ottawa. Akeem Esidore, number one, probably going to be a first-round NFL draft pick. But we've also got Ottawa guys, Darius McKenzie, linebacker of South Alabama, yourself, others. How many of these guys did you know growing up?
All of them. Especially like Akeem at Miami and then Wesley and Renee and Darius. Like we all used to train together with Gridiron Academy and like we came up from a young age. And every year, it was just that environment of competition, that environment of, you know, working together and going to camps together, 7-on-7 tournaments together. So it's so cool to see, like, how far we've come and how far we're going to go. So it's really cool.
How many of those guys have sacked you in an actual game? Because it's funny how they're all
none of them have. Yeah.
None of them.
Okay. None of them. No, I don't think I've played against any of them. The only person that I played against was my friend Nate Marty, who was at Arkansas State, and he didn't sack me. So I hold that over his head to this day.
That's awesome. Well, hey, it's wild how strong Ottawa is, and obviously you're part of that contingent. Tell me how it is that a kid from Ottawa came to play at Penn State and actually like take snaps as a true freshman.
Yeah, I mean, the love for the game came from my dad. He was a big Peyton Manning fan, and he used to always watch the Colts games, and ever since I was a little kid, I'd just be, you know, stuck in front of the TV just watching. And I think that's how I fell in love with the game. Also, just tossing the ball around with dad in the yard, like, and my uncles. I think that went a long way. So when I was 9, I finally said, like, hey, I want to play football. And my first year for the Cumberland Panthers, I was a left tackle. They didn't know what to do with me, but I was kind of bigger than all the other kids. So I played left tackle. And then that offseason, I did some quarterback training, and I came back the next year and, like, ever since, just been a quarterback. So,
That's a bit. So how old were you when you were playing left tackle?
It must have been like 9 years old. And okay. I think when I was 10 is when I started playing quarterback.
Okay, so pretty Pop Warner, but it's hilarious that you went from protecting the blind side to being the protected.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, it's funny. And I still have, like, I have videos on my phone of, like, me playing back then. Like, we have every game on DVD at the house. So it's so funny to go back and watch. Like, Wesley Bailey used to be a tight end on that team, and I was left tackle. Like, it's crazy to think about it.
That's amazing. You got these poor Pop Warner kids playing against two future pros.
Exactly. Yeah. It's crazy to think about. It's crazy.
That's awesome. Well, obviously, you make the transition to quarterback, and you played quarterback from age 10 onward.
Yep.
What was it like getting a scholarship offer from Penn State?
Yeah, I mean, it was always the dream to go Division I and play in the NCAA. Like, I had a lot of people before me who paved the way, you know, Eli Onku, Michael O'Connor, Luigi Villain, Patrice Rene, Jonathan Sutherland. So, like, looking up to those guys and seeing them come back from being in prep school, coming back home and working out with us, like, we're all like, yeah, like, we want to be like those guys. So the plan was always to do that. And I don't think there was ever doubt in my mind that, like, I wouldn't be able to achieve it, because I think from a young age, like, a lot of people told me, like, you have the talent, you can do it. And so to me, it was always like, all right, like, what's the timeline? When am I going to go down there? Eventually, when's my first offer going to be? So, like, I got my first offer really young, and then the offers just poured in, and, like, Penn State just ended up being the place to be, just because the Canadian connection and like, proximity to home. And then I truly did fall in love with the staff and the school. So, I mean, I wouldn't change my decision. Like, I really thought at the time Penn State was the right place for me. So, yeah, I had some good years there.
When you say the Canadian connection, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so Jesse Lucchetto from Ottawa was in his senior year, my freshman year. And then Jonathan Sutherland was on defense as well. And then we had Malik Mega from Montreal, and then Theo Johnson from Windsor. So I had those four guys, like, Canadians, and I was like, I mean, I'm going to feel right at home being around those guys. And then I have Jonathan and Jesse to, like they knew me just from growing up and being around those guys and working out. So they kind of took me under their wing and were good mentors for me there, and guys to look up to. So, like, it was a no-brainer. It felt like the right situation back then, so.
Well, and I mean, obviously, those guys have all had a ton of success since then. Johnson's in the NFL. Paquette's still in the NFL. Jonathan Sutherland just came up from the NFL. He's with the Montreal Alouettes. And Malik Mega is in this class with you. Another guy, not an Ottawa guy, but, like, not that far, right?
There's a ton of 2 hours away.
Exactly. There's a ton of guys at that 2 hour stretch, which is crazy. So you played two seasons at Penn State, three touchdowns, no picks. You decided to go into the transfer portal. You transferred to Pitt. Yeah. What was it that led you to make that decision?
Yeah, I think just being in the situation that I was that last year at Penn State, I was a third string, and I was behind Drew. And Drew, like, from the moment I saw him throw the first time, I was like, yeah, this guy's going to be in the NFL one day. Like, this guy's really good. And if he beats me out, like, I don't think I'll ever be able to beat him back out. And just him being younger than me, there was no chance for me to have my eligibility and then end up playing. So I told myself, like, just hit the portal, find a new opportunity. And Pitt was that opportunity. Frank Cignetti Jr. was the one who recruited me. Great offensive coordinator. Really liked him. One of my favorite coaches in my college career. And then the city of Pittsburgh, it was close to Penn State too, close to home. Like, my parents could still drive down and see me. So, you know, it was the right fit, and had a good year and a half there.
Yeah, and you played – right away. I think you started five games your first season at Pitt.
Yeah, I started midway through the year. I think we started the year 1-4, something like that. And so I started week 6, and our first game was against Louisville, undefeated, number 15th team in the country. Beat them at home. And, you know, at that moment in time, I was like, you know, I've worked for this moment, and it's here. And I really thought the trajectory of my career was just up, and it turned out to be complete opposite. Just didn't win a game after that. Ended up being benched week 10 or week 11. Can't really remember, but just the ebbs and flows of football, man. That's how it goes.
It is high highs and low lows.
100%.
What do you think led to that downward trajectory?
Yeah, I think, had a hell of a game against Louisville. Started off slow, but as the game progressed on, like started making some throws, started moving the ball and really operating. And our defense played well that game too. So everything clicked. And then going into Wake Forest, it was like, you know, this is a game that we should win. Couldn't get any momentum on offense. Couldn't run the ball. Throwing was difficult. Was getting smacked around pretty good that game. So we ended up being down a little bit fourth quarter. So there's 3 minutes. We drive down the field. We score, take the lead. Our defense gets a stop, and we get the ball back with like a minute 30. Third and eight, I pulled the ball on just a simple RPO. And I take it down the left side, and I'm thinking, yeah, I got the first down. I slide a half yard short. So I get marked short. We punt the ball, just absolutely muff the punt, get an unsportsmanlike penalty, and Wake Forest gets the ball on their own, well, on our 40. And within 30 seconds, they score. And there's 8 seconds left on the clock. We're down. So that was crushing for me because I felt like I'm the one who lost us the game by sliding short that day. I thought for sure I was over the line. I was good. And so like that weighed heavily on me. And then the next week we go to Notre Dame, throw 4 interceptions in an environment that, you know, was very difficult. So just couldn't recover from that. Like next week we play Florida State, played decent. We actually had a shot to beat them. They were a hell of a team. Came out hot, but we just couldn't sustain. And then we went to Syracuse. 2 fumbles later, like I was benched. So it happens. Sometimes it doesn't always go your way. And that's what I've learned throughout my college career. So we've got to deal with adversity.
You mentioned the adversity. And obviously, you face adversity at any level of college athletics, even in football, as the will linebacker, as the long snapper, whatever. But quarterback is just a different beast.
It's a different breed, yeah.
The microscope, whatever you want to call it, is on you at all times. How did you rally and maintain your confidence through those struggles?
Yeah, I think what I've learned is, like, your brain will always highlight the lows and the things you did wrong. And that's always what you, when it's late at night, you're always thinking, oh, I should have done this or I should have done that. But you also have to tell yourself, you have to rewire your brain to think about, hey, I did this and I did that. And I think that's how you build confidence. That's how you build trust in yourself is, like, remember what you did well. Don't focus on what was bad, but also give the same amount of energy, the same amount of focus to what you did good. And I think coming out of that Pitt season, like, I think I did a lot of things really well. And I was like, I know I'm talented. I know I can play. So, you know, that's how I kept confidence in myself. And I was willing to, you know, bet on myself again and go in the portal again. So,
you finished your career at Georgia State, where you were kind of a part-time starter. How would you describe the last 2 years? Because I think you played more at the beginning of your tenure than you did near the end.
Yeah. In 24, I started the first, I want to say, like 4 games. And then I got benched after our 5th game. We didn't win a game after that. And then week 11, I ended up starting again. And I think we scored like 52 against Texas State. So to me, I felt like, you know, I kind of made a statement to my team, to my teammates and coaches that, like, you know, I was the guy. Like, you need to have confidence in me. Like, should have never been benched. And so I really came out of that year on a high. Obviously, our last game was kind of a – one of those games where you're just trying to get the season over with. It was a very ugly game for us. We played Malik that game, so he could tell you all about it too. But yeah, like I came out of that year, I've got 4 years under my belt. I feel like I've got a lot of experience, a lot of lessons that I've learned. And I finally felt ready this past year for it to be my year to really cement myself and kind of create some momentum for my professional career. And yeah, I mean, I was a starter all throughout, you know, the off season leading up to the first week. We played Ole Miss, and, you know, in the first half, I think we went to halftime 21-7, you know, still had a chance. And then game got out of control in the third quarter, threw a pick to a D lineman, and then got benched and didn't see the field again until the very end of the year. So, that one was a surprise this past year. A lot went on behind the scenes. That was tough, you know, tough to deal with. But once again, it's like character building, adversity that I've gone through that not a lot of guys can say they've been through. So, you know, I'm just excited for what's next.
Well, if I remember correctly, Georgia State brought in a transfer like after the season started.
They made it seem like he came in after the season started, but he was there. They brought him in the spring portal. They had brought two guys in the winter portal, and then they brought him in the spring portal. So three total transfers in the year to pretty much replace me.
And I'd imagine that's really challenging because on the one hand, people think of the portal as being great for student athletes. It's like you can go anywhere, you can go to the best opportunity, but you might commit to someplace on Monday, like literally Monday, and then Thursday they bring in somebody who's got maybe one more star than you do at the same position, and now you're going, whoa, I just made this commitment to you. Like, it's not a two-way street at all.
Yeah. No, it's tough. Like, as a guy who's been on both ends of it, like what can you say? Like, when you're in the portal, you want it to go your way. When you're not, you want it to go your way as well. So you can't have it both ways. I think it's tough nowadays, especially for guys coming out of high school and getting recruited, especially with NIL. Like, from my first year of college to now, like, it's the politics are completely different. The way coaches handle situations are completely different. And honestly, I'm glad I'm out of it because it's kind of a circus. And when you're caught on the bad side of it, like, it's really bad. And I've seen a lot of guys, just like, you know, things not go their way. And at the end of the day, like, it's a business. It was before, but it's 10 times more of a business now. So, but I don't knock the portal. I think it's good. I think if coaches have the opportunity to up and leave whenever they want, players should have the same opportunity too. And players need to do what's best for them. So I just think it needs to be regulated, and rules need to be in place to have more structure. But it's kind of how it is. Just the Wild West out there. So
it is the Wild West.
Yeah.
Let's focus on the pro game, right? We're at the CFL Combine in Edmonton right now. Whether it's here, I know you recently did a pro day down south, or over the next month in interviews and things, what are you hoping to show CFL teams leading into the draft?
Yeah, I think, like, you know, I want to show off my arm talent. I want to show off my football IQ, but mainly I just want to show that, like, I'm thankful to be in the position that I am. I love football. There's a reason why I've been through what I've been through, and I'm still here trying, you know, trying to be the person that I know that I can be, the player that I know that I can be. So I'm really excited to show my athleticism tomorrow for the testing. I think I can run fast. I think I can jump high and far. So I think I can impress coaches with that. And then Saturday and Sunday, I think it's just about, you know, showing off the arm talent when you can, but also making good, accurate decisions when it comes to the 7-on-7 portion and the team portion. You know, I just want to show that I'm a well-rounded quarterback, and that the college me who made bad decisions and had some inconsistent moments is kind of gone. So that's what I want to show.
Obviously, the Canadian Football League is in a bit of a golden age of the Canadian quarterback, mm-hmm. right? 10 years ago when I started covering this draft, quarterback was basically a non-thing.
Yeah.
The Canadian quarterbacks would be brought into the combine to throw to receivers, and that was basically the end of their evaluation. Mm-hmm. They were there to be arms. It's now a totally different landscape. Nathan Rourke, league MOP, is a Canadian QB. Trey Ford started a ton of games with Edmonton. He seems to now be the heir apparent to Bully by Mitchell and Hamilton. As a Canadian quarterback, when you see guys achieving things in the Canadian Football League, getting chances to start, getting chances to become stars, do you see that as an encouraging sign for your future?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's motivating. Like you said, like, me growing up, I knew that, you know, all the quarterbacks in the CFL were Americans. And so to see now, like, how many Canadians are in the sport and are dominating the sport, like, you see Rourke, he's Rourke's balling. Like, I love to see that. And what he did when he went to the NFL and tried to give that a shot, like, ton of respect for that. I mean, I kind of want to do the same thing that he did. So I think it's inspiring not only for myself, but for young kids in Canada, you know, like, who are playing football, and especially at the quarterback position. Like, before it was like, oh, you play quarterback, but, like, is there really a future? Now, now there's a path set to, yeah, there is a future. Like Canadians can play quarterback in the CFL and be extremely successful. So I think it's great for the sport.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Christian. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah.
Wish you all the best.
Absolutely.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.